love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn this week. 888-727-BECK. Immediately after the show, you can also check out Pat Gray Unleashed every day on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. We're going to get back to Josh and our discussion. We've sparked some controversy here. One of our callers a few hours ago now mentioned the fact that the U.S. was unbeaten, and it had to do with the tweets between Trump and Kim Jong-un, and maybe we should mention that, hey, we're unbeaten in war. And I knew that people were going to say, well, what about Vietnam? And so my perception, my belief has always been we didn't lose Vietnam. We left. And they lost Vietnam. Well, not us. We'll get back to that discussion in a second here. But an interesting little problem developed in Dallas last night. Are you familiar with Erykah Badu? Of course you are. I mean...
Are you asking me?
No, yeah. I mean, obviously you are.
The Erykah Badu?
Yeah. I mean, you know, famous for such songs. Well, I won't even get into
There's the one song that she does, man.
It's just
love.
So terrific. I just love the Erykah Badu songs.
Well, I love the
that she does.
I love the, you know, her look.
The whole look
with the long hair and the hat.
Yes. That. She got pulled over in Dallas last night, and she said, "Officer, why are you pulling me over?" He smiled and replied on camera, which she was filming, because I wanted to say hi. So a Dallas police officer, obviously familiar with Erykah
Absolutely.
Badu and all the great songs that she does, actually just pulled her, recognized her as he's driving by her and then pulls her over. And apparently that's a problem. Despite the good-natured intention of the stop, there's a serious legal issue with the impromptu meet and greet.
Stop it.
Police are supposed to at least have probable cause that a driver has done something wrong before pulling them over.
Stop it.
Not a huge issue. It doesn't look like Erykah Badu is making an issue out of it, but other legal minds are.
Abuse of power.
I know. It seems kind of silly.
It's totally unprofessional. Is it? Is it for the police officer to say, hey, I just want to say hi. I'm looking out for you. Thank you.
It's kind of a goodwill gesture.
Yes, it sure is. But it's okay if the police officer pulls just anybody over and gives them a turkey over the Thanksgiving holiday or gives them a Christmas present over the Christmas holiday.
Which they've done in some communities.
They do all the time.
Yeah.
All around the country, they think it's cute to just pull people over and give them presents, but they can't just stop and say hi. Stop it.
Actually, police are trying to, you know, create the right perception of them. They're helpers. They're there to serve and protect, but they're also good people. And that's why I think in a lot of communities, like, police officers are encouraged to stop and hang out with kids once in a while.
Yeah.
Just to show them, look,
I mean, they did.
We're not a scary force. We're here to help.
I mean, I know it was, you know, back in the turn of the century, but they did when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew you knew the police officers in the neighborhood.
Right. And it seems that they're trying to get back to that. I've seen videos of communities that encourage them to stop and hang out. And you've seen the videos of them playing basketball with kids in the neighborhood,
baseball,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a cool thing. 888-900
or 888-727. Terrible thing.
No, it's not.
I mean, there's nothing that they should be reprimanded about.
It doesn't seem like a thing that needs to be made into a national crisis.
No, it does not.
So let's just move past that. Okay, Josh in Alabama, you were saying that your belief is that Panama kicked our butts?
Well, you know, once you said no, I pulled over, of course, and I got on the internet, and now I realize my initial statement was way off base. I don't
think where did
I
you get that?
That in my head.
Did you?
Maybe
okay.
During the time that it was going, I was living with a set of step-parents that were highly Democrat and very liberal.
There's your
maybe,
yeah.
You know, maybe that was it.
I'll bet it is.
I'll bet it is, too.
Thanks, Josh. Glad we were able to clear up that lifelong misperception.
If it wasn't their fault, it was Walter Cronkite's fault.
Yes.
I'll tell you that. The way he reported on Panama.
Panama was 89. I doubt
he was alive.
He just, I don't think he was doing the CBS Evening News.
He was on the sailboat.
Panama was a huge victory. We invaded the country in 1989, I think it was December 20th. Within 4 days, we had almost total control of the entire nation.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the...
Control. And that's when we removed Noriega, brought him to Miami,
yeah,
made him stand trial, all of that stuff.
I mean, it only took 4 days to...
Secure the island of spice.
Too. Yeah,
I thought you didn't like to talk
about
those
but,
days.
You know, it's
so I wasn't going to go
victories
there.
Today.
Yeah,
and it's important to note that that was an important victory.
So. Jeff in Tennessee, hi, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hello, I could disagree. America has lost the war. I'm from Tennessee, mm-hmm. and here in the South, we lost Lincoln's war, and it fundamentally changed the way we see ourselves.
Yeah.
Fact, that wasn't America, though. That was the Confederacy. America won that war. The Union won that war.
I think the results of that war left us with a centralized government where we had been a federation of sovereign states. Mm-hmm. And now with Washington, you know, the national government being you know, viewed as supreme, has mm-hmm. caused a lot of the problems we have today, you know, and the way we look at it. You know, I hear on this program a lot of times, and the basis of all this is the fact that we lost this war, and it changed the way this government operates.
That we, meaning the Confederacy, lost the war.
Yeah,
you sound like a guy who'd like the South. You sound like a man who would like the South to rise again.
Well, no, not necessarily. I like us to go back to, you know, to being the states being sovereign and us being a federation instead of, you know, being the other way around. I think the local governments and the local control is more important than what happens in Washington.
Yeah, well, and I mean, there's still a certain amount of that. It's not like it was during the Confederacy, obviously, but there's still a certain amount of local sovereignty and local control and state control. The states have certain rights. Yes, federal law supersedes that in some cases, although I'm not sure that's the right word for it. But, for instance, the marijuana laws that people are passing in Colorado and California and Oregon, there's a federal law against smoking marijuana, buying, selling marijuana. Well, those states have declared it legal, and nothing's been done about it.
Right.
Is that not state sovereignty?
Yeah. And there's still a spark of the old Constitution out there.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you know, but it changed the way, you know, the South, we view ourselves. You know, we did suffer from a war and defeat and things like that. And I think because people don't look at it that way, a lot of times it's not taught that way.
Yeah.
Not anymore, it's not. That's for sure.
Well, and in some
how bad the war really was.
With good reason in some cases. It did end slavery, which if that changed the perception of the South, so be it. Because the perception of the South was that they were slave states. Hopefully you wouldn't want to return to that. Right?
No, so, but that wasn't the cause of the war. That was an issue.
It actually was.
It was economics, and slavery could have been ended like it did in the British Empire.
Well, it could have been, but it didn't
because
it kept going on, and because the South insisted on slavery to the extent that they withdrew from the Union. I don't know how else you could have ended slavery. It ended 30 years prior to that in Britain. It wasn't headed in that direction here.
Yeah, and, but you know, I know for a fact that Tennessee didn't secede for slavery. We seceded because we're going to be invaded. And if you look at
history, you wouldn't have been invaded if you didn't. You wouldn't have been invaded if it didn't secede.
A war, Virginia, North Carolina, Tennessee, Arkansas, they wouldn't have seceded. But anyway, I just want to make that comment.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
A little disagreement there. The Civil War was definitely about slavery. And don't let people
and you've
try
come
to
around
tell
to
you.
That, though.
Oh, yeah. I've always believed that. I think Glenn's come around to that.
Okay. That's
Andrew in New York. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
It's Pat, but I'm doing great.
Oh, man.
Yeah, go ahead.
I can't believe everybody missed this, the War of 1812.
What about it?
We declared war on Britain because they wouldn't leave our shipping alone, and then we got our butts kicked a little bit, and then we sued for peace. And
got our butts kicked?
What? When,
we won that war. What do you mean we got our butts kicked?
Listen, if burning the Capitol doesn't win you the war, I don't know what does.
Well, it didn't win them the war.
No, it did not.
Despite the fact that they burned the White House to the ground, it did not win them the war. We absolutely won the War of 1812. Otherwise, we'd be a British colony again.
Right.
I was mistaken. I thought we sued them for peace to see if we would be kind enough to end the hostilities.
Yeah. Britain was not kind enough to do anything for us in those days. thanks a lot, Andrew.
What is wrong with you people? This is America.
What are they teaching in school today? Is this where this is coming from?
I don't know.
Wow.
But we're America, damn it.
There's a lot of people who believe we lost virtually every war that's ever been fought.
Stop it.
Wow.
I'm taking back the tie for Vietnam. We won that too.
Brian in Tennessee, welcome to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good.
All right. Well, enjoying this climate change down here in Tennessee.
And
wanted to talk about South Korea. I spent a year over there in the military in 83. Our capabilities of knowing what they're doing, what they're moving, and where it's at is spot on. If we did have to break out into a war over there, I don't know what the situation with our nuclear capabilities over there. I don't know. I know Obama removed them from South Korea. I don't know if they've been put back or not.
Uh-huh.
But we had the capability of knocking their stuff out and doing it pretty quick. Now, I know it still would be hard on Seoul with everything they got pointed at Seoul. But we would do a pretty good job over there cleaning out their the North's capability of strike.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And you served in Korea for a time?
Yes, sir.
How long were you there?
I was there 12 months.
Did you feel like the people there appreciated our presence or?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
The South Korean people are wonderful people.
Yeah.
When I was over there, I got a chance to talk to a colonel that was there during, he was retired, during the Korean War. And I was stationed at Songtan Sea, and Hill 180. When they took that hill, the North Koreans had crucified women and children up the hill. Our soldiers had to fight up that hill and literally hand-to-hand at the last point of the battle and jump in the trenches and grab the North Korean, throw him down the hill for his buddies to bayonet. That's how fierce it was. And the North Korean soldiers, they're just heartless, they're a brutal force, and should not be kidded around with.
Yeah,
and it hasn't changed. When I was there, the leader at the time, I think it was Kim Il's grandfather, and his father was head of the North Korean Special Forces Unit. And we knew he was a nut job from the beginning. And Sonny, much less.
Yeah.
So it's a bad situation there right now and stuff. And like I said, I know President Obama removed our nuclear capability from South Korea, but I don't know if Trump's reinstituted it or not. Do you guys know?
I don't.
I was just kind of looking up.
Appreciate the call, though, and thanks for your service, Brian.
When you said that, thank you, I was thinking, do we actually get rid of them? I remember talking about them, but what I can find out is we did get rid of the tactical nukes out of South Korea.
Although
because
we could still reach North Korea with submarines, with missiles.
Right, because
ICBMs.
They were talking about some of the military people from South Korea were saying that it might be time for us to bring back the tactical nukes to South Korea.
Yeah,
That has been this earlier, 2017, last year. But I don't believe they have. However, you're right. There's plenty of nuclear power that can hit them.
Plenty.
No problem.
Yeah. 888-727 Beck.
Glenn Beck.
Pat and Jeffy for Glenn, 888-727-BECK. Big announcement from Orrin Hatch yesterday of Utah, who's been in office since just after the War of 1812. So he's got some experience. You'd call him a seasoned senator, I think, at this point.
Seasoned.
He's been in office for a little over 190 years.
Right. I mean, I know he said one of his statements, I don't know if it was his own little Facebook live feed or whatever it was, but I know he was, you know, bragging on how good he's been over the years and how he's got the most
legislation
and laws passed. And I believe his timeline was living senator. And I thought, well, so? I mean,
I know
you're the last one alive since the beginning of the country.
Span the entirety of the U.S. Senate.
But I know, you know,
somebody convinced him
goodbye.
In the last few months.
Have a nice day.
To get out. And you know, I don't know who that was. Maybe it was his wife.
They said it was his wife. Reports were that his wife was saying, this is it. You don't run again. Be done. You're done.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I guess you have to kind of believe
that. Guy's 83 years old.
Yeah.
It's definitely time.
Yeah.
And he's been terrible for most of his senatorial
career. We're talking about Orrin
Hatch. Yeah, we are.
I mean, the senator from Utah is what we're talking about, right?
He's been terrible.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I'm talking about Orrin Hatch, the guy that's been in office for 40 years.
The guy who reminds me of, I don't know, John McCain, perhaps, that sort of politician. It's sad that we get comfortable with people and we just allow them to stay in office forever.
And that goes back to the term limits chat we had yesterday, man. Yeah. It's the same thing. It's the thing, like, the term limits are the voters, but again, that's almost kind of what it is, really, is the complacency of,
whatever, I know him.
He's already there.
And I don't know the other guy.
He's
and
already there.
I don't want to lose any of the power that we wield because he's been there for so long.
Right.
That's what happens. President Trump tried to convince him to stay. He wanted him around for years to come because Hatch has been a very big supporter.
Oh, a big proponent of Donald.
Big. And so he's not going to have that. And that's why it's a huge deal to Donald Trump that Mitt Romney might run, because Romney's not a fan.
I know.
So that'll be interesting to watch. First of all, to see if Mitt runs, which I expect
that.
Him to.
I know you say you expect him to. I don't.
I think he will.
He's 70 years old now.
He's already said he would consider it strongly if Hatch stepped down. And at the time, it looked like he wasn't going to. But now he has. So we'll see. We'll see.
And our boy quit altogether, right? He's just Mr. TV star now. The guy that was the congressman.
Jason Chaffetz?
Yeah. I mean, he's just done, right? It's over.
Yeah.
He hurt his foot and had a surgery and quit the Congress.
Yeah. So I don't know if he would consider getting back into it and running for the office again. But he might be a possibility for that opening.
Right. I mean, he's comfortable enough with the state and familiar enough name-wise.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. I know that the president and the entire Trump camp is not excited about that possibility, but they may have to face it anyway. Could be a Senator Romney soon. We'll find out because he's going to have to declare pretty soon. The election is this year.
He wants to be a senator?
It's November. I don't know.
Romney.
We'll see. 888-727-BECK.
I mean, it's a good gig. Yeah. It's a good gig, but he's 70 now. Does he need it?
It's only 13 years younger than Hatch.
I know. Does he? He doesn't need it. He doesn't need to be that.
Yeah, need I don't think figures in. Do you want it? That's the question. We'll see.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat and Jeffy this week. Say what you will about the President Trump tweets. North Korea just reopened their border hotline with South Korea. Yep. Does that mean something's working? Kind of seems like it.
Sure does.
I mean, yeah, it's been tense over the last 6 or 8 months. And everybody was wondering, was this the right thing to do? You just really ratcheted up the heat. But now it seems to have cooled off. Things seem to be maybe even improving somewhat. All of a sudden, North Korea is making these gestures to South Korea. They're reopening the border hotline with the South. They just did that today. They already tested it. It apparently works. It's open again. They've also extended an olive branch to the Olympic Games that are going to be held in South Korea next month.
They've also, the Winter Olympics next month, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was talk by Nikki Haley that we might not even go because the tensions were so high.
It would be so dangerous, yes.
Yeah, that's pretty much done.
Sure
that's
has.
Over. We're definitely going. And North Korea has basically promised not to do anything.
I mean, that's you've got to believe that that had definitely something to do with Trump's big stick. Look, we're bigger. Have a nice day.
Right. I said it's reminiscent of the "my dog's bigger than your dog" kettle ration campaign. But
my dog's bigger than your dog. My dog's faster than yours.
Wow. My button's bigger than your button.
That's classic.
My button's bigger than yours. And did it work? I kind of think it
did. It looks like it.
Kind of feels like it did. 727, it's 1-888-727-BACK. Let's go to Elizabeth. 800?
No.
Hi,
no,
Pat.
It's 888. Hey, Elizabeth, welcome.
Hi, Pat and Jeffy. I'm happy to talk to you.
You too.
I just wanted to call because, well, first of all, I really have to commend you and Jeffy on your attitude change about Trump. I was a never Trumper, primary and also in the general election.
Uh-huh.
And
that was a tough time, man.
Those are tough times.
Your life.
it was. And, I mean, I started out just because the media and the people in Washington were so atrocious, I just started out feeling I had to defend him. And
yes.
Thank you.
But yeah. But there's one thing I have to disagree with you on.
Okay.
I love the tweets. I absolutely love the tweets. I'm like a kid at Christmas waiting for, you know, Santa. Yeah. What are you going to bring me this time?
Are you?
You're definitely not alone.
Well,
on that, that's
Christmas
for sure.
Comes every day for you then, because those tweets are nonstop.
I mean, I was concerned. Concerned this morning. I was, you know, working, filling in for Doc Thompson on the morning show on the Blaze Radio Network, and President Trump didn't tweet all morning.
Oh my!
I mean,
God.
I thought he'd lost his phone. I thought we had to send some help into the White House, man. But
fortunately, he's tweeting again.
He found it. Yeah, something happened.
But I know, you know, it's like he's always pulling people's chains. He's got a quirky sense of mischief that comes through there, but. No, and don't get me wrong. I pray every single day for Donald Trump, for God to give him wisdom.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the tweets go a little far. But I mean, can you imagine, I mean, if Solomon tweeted, you know, like, okay, you broad, stop squabbling. I've got a big sword. I mean, I don't know if he would do that. But
I don't know either. But, there was a lot of wisdom there with that guy.
At
so.
Solomon.
At
Saul.
I've been proud now to call him my president. I never thought I would be. And of course, there's also, we don't have to see Barack and Michelle in the
House.
Amen.
Thank heaven for that.
I mean, he gets a lot of points for that.
Yes, he does. Thanks a lot, Elizabeth. Appreciate it.
That's for sure.
I mean, people do love it. Again, it's why I think it's one of the reasons he was elected.
Yes.
They just liked somebody speaking their mind, somebody defending themselves and the Republican Party and the values that the right has, and not taking crap from them anymore.
Yes. That's most
There's
important.
A lot to be said for
there
that.
There sure is. There sure is. And there's a lot to be said for that and how America sees America. I mean, you see with our callers today, I mean, how many times we lost that.
We have somebody who's not apologizing for everything we've done. We've got somebody who has said America first. I mean, we all respond to that.
No kidding.
Except for the left. They seem to respond better to America in the middle or maybe down near the bottom.
Well, I mean, that's what they want.
That's what they want.
Kind of the plan, right?
They want us brought down to size.
Some of the plan was that, we can't bring up some of the weaker countries as high as the U.S., so we've got to bring some of the U.S. down.
Now, they never admitted that, but that's obviously the strategy.
Yes.
David in New York, welcome to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi there, Pat and Jeffy. I wanted to point out that you said one of your pet peeves is when people say we have a democracy instead of a republic.
Yeah.
And one of my pet peeves is when people call things wars that aren't actually wars because we've only had about declarations of war in our history.
That is true. That is true.
We've only declared war about six times. The Revolution, War of 1812, Mexican-American, Spanish-American, and World War I and II.
Right, but it's hard to say the Vietnam police action all the time.
Or Vietnam armed conflict.
Or the armed conflict, yes. So people shorten that a little bit, but you're right, it's technically not correct.
So you can't really lose a war if it wasn't a war, can you?
No, you can't. No.
I noticed you didn't mention Urgent Fury. Okay.
The Island of Spice. Grenada.
So, I mean, thanks for your call, Dave.
Near and dear to Jeffy's heart. Thanks a lot, David. No, that was not called a war. That was not declared either, right? I mean, having been such an integral part of that, surely you know that.
All I know is we went to battle and we won one for the
Four
the
days
Gipper.
Of hell, yeah.
Don't.
What? I'm just I'm admitting that it was four days of hell for you.
It was.
Ron in Pennsylvania, you're on the Glenn Beck Program. Hi.
Hi, guys. Hey, thanks for all you do. Just quick point. Kim Jong-un is a bully, and Donald Trump is the type of guy, to me, that wasn't pushed around as a kid. I mean, you look at I'd love to ask Barack Obama if he ever got in a fight as a kid, because I bet he just stood there and let the bullies push him down and punch him in the face, walk the other way, and now we got a guy that's not bending down, bowing to leaders. And this guy's a global boy, and Trump's just not going to put up with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's what I got to say.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
That certainly is the perception of Donald Trump, and good. That's what got him elected.
And yes, and Americans are responding to it because we've been pushed around for so long, and the mainstream media has had free rein. Of saying whatever they want without any retaliation against them. Well, that's not the case anymore.
That's
correct. And they don't like it.
No, they do not.
How dare you respond to something we've said? You can't respond to what we've said. Well, yes, we can. And he does, and he's not going to play that game where he allows them to set the tone every day. He sets the tone every day. As he did yesterday with the big button thing.
And they've got to be loving because he announced also yesterday that he's going to have the most dishonest and corrupt media awards next week.
That's going to be fun to watch.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're going to be apoplectic about that,
too. They are going to lose their minds. I will be announcing the most dishonest and corrupt media awards of the year on Monday at 5 o'clock. Subjects will cover dishonesty and bad reporting in various categories from the fake news media. Stay tuned.
Is he just so he's tweeting it? Is that going to be a series of tweets as well?
It already has been. Yeah, he tweeted that yesterday.
Tony in Arkansas, you're on the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi, Pat.
Hey.
I was just wanting to say real quick that, I ain't really too worried about North Korea because the Ohio class can drop 192 warheads on them.
Yeah.
But right now they're in a building stage, and if we don't do something about it, they're going to get so massive that it's going to do a lot of damage before we can stop them. Because they've already broke the armistice this year. And I don't remember what was in the armistice, but I'm pretty sure that them having nukes also broke it. But I'm not sure on that point. But I also wanted to say real quick that Steve Bannon, he needs to learn the meaning of traitors because, we're not at war with Russia, so anybody can talk to a Russian right now.
Yeah.
And not a traitor.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Tony. And there's been no collusion proven. There's a lot of You know, there's a lot of accusations. There's been no proof yet. Also, we have another person who's just been fired for sexual harassment, supposedly, right? This was in the college football world.
Yeah, University of Arizona, Rich Rodriguez. Yeah.
Who came to fame, I think, at West Virginia, right? And then
he went to Michigan.
Then he went to Michigan. Didn't last long there. Went to Arizona. Now he's been fired from Arizona for some allegation, which they investigated and then basically said, yeah, we didn't find anything.
This person who used to work for him with a hostile workplace claim, and she alleged, you know, all this stuff. And the only thing that she alleged that he admitted to, he said everything else was wrong, was an affair. Was an extramarital affair. And he, you know, said he's working that out with his wife.
Did she admit that was a consensual relationship or not?
It wasn't with her. It wasn't with the person that was complaining. It was someone else. The complainant was saying that she had to cover for him.
Oh, okay.
You know, as part of the hostile work environment.
So the person he was having an affair with wasn't the complainant?
No. No. And, yeah, the university looked into it, and they said, we checked it all out, and we really couldn't find anything.
So we fired him anyway.
Get out of here. Okay. What?
So they looked into it. They couldn't find any evidence of sexual harassment.
It was weird.
So why did they fire the guy?
I mean, look, the guy is kind of a, you know.
Did they go to football reasons then? I mean, are they just not happy with the program? Was he going to get fired anyway?
Yeah, it's possible. The program had slipped a couple notches, although, you know, it appeared when he showed up it was looking good, but then he had some injuries, so, you know, you use that as an excuse for a couple years. Mm-hmm. So, and they just lost another bowl game. It's coming off a big loss. So, you know, it's possible that it was time to let him out. Now, look, before you shed too many tears for Rich Rodriguez, for sure he's walking away with $6 million.
Oh, wow.
As his buyout.
That's a nice way to walk away.
And then there was another part of his contract that was, I wasn't sure. I got to figure out what that is so I can put it in a contract if I ever get a contract. It was some deal that he had with the university that was going to be worth a little over $3 million if he had kept his job until March. And since they got rid of him before March 15th or something like that, mid-March, it's only worth 25% of the $3 million, a little $3.5 million.
Oh, okay.
So he gets a little bit of that, too.
So he's going to get about $6,500,000.
You know, $7 million maybe, somewhere in there. You know, so he'll, you know, he might be able to survive a week, you know, get by. I don't know.
We got to get in touch with these college coaches and find out how they have such great parting deals.
Boy, no kidding.
Wow. 888
727-BECK.
Sponsor of this half hour is Simply Safe. You're doing a lot of post-holiday shopping from your mobile device. You know, retailers expect about 54% of holiday shoppers to visit their sites from a mobile device. Now, scammers use that as an opportunity to steal your credit card information and other data. So be cautious and only download apps from reputable app stores and read the reviews and some of the complaints. 1 in 4 people have experienced identity theft. If you're only monitoring your credit, your identity can be stolen. Your identity can be stolen in ways that you might not detect. Thieves can sell your information on the dark web or get an online payday loan in your name. Now, LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If you have a problem, U.S.-based restoration specialists will work to fix it for you. Nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can uncover threats that you might miss. Join now. Get 10% off with the promo code BECK, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or go to LifeLock.com. Use the promo code BECK to save 10%.
Glenn Beck. Glenn.
Beck.
Hey, if you've been thinking about your home security, there's just no better time to get it than right now. You've heard me, you've heard Glenn, Stu, sing the praises of Simply Safe Home Security. It's just the best protection, that's why. Just the best there is. Simply Safe has put together a massive security arsenal for your home. Special package, handpicked just for you. It has entry sensors, motion sensors, glass break sensors, everything you need to stop criminals from ever intruding into your home. Skies are the ones I trust. And right now, Simply Safe is giving you, our listeners, an absolutely incredible offer. You get $200 off this handpicked security package. $200 off. It's complete protection for your home. They're already the best value in home security. No contracts, no commitments. But right now, you get $200 off this special package right now. Just go to simplysafebeck.com. SimplySafeBeck.com. Save $200 on this Simply Safe home security pick. SimplySafeBeck.com.
I don't want to get through today without mentioning the horror that's taking place in Oregon for some residents in the great state of Oregon.
What's happening there?
A new law took effect this week.
Yeah.
That means that if you live in a county with less than 40,000 residents, you now pump your own gas.
Oh, my gosh. How can anybody be expected?
I don't know how that state could be alive.
How can anyone be expected to pump their own gas?
It's horrific. Horrific. I don't know how they're going to survive. And apparently,
what if they're smoking a cigarette and they drop it down the gas tank while they're pumping?
I mean, there were some people commenting from the news story that talked about, I don't even know how to pump gas. I'm 62.
And they're serious?
No, thanks. I don't want to smell like gasoline.
So in Oregon, like New Jersey, they always have an attendant do it.
Yeah.
There's what, two places in the world left like that? Yeah.
You get pretty used to it, though. You know, I used to get gas in New Jersey when I was there, and you get pretty used to it.
That used to it, where you don't even know how to do it?
No.
Come on now. No. Suck it up in Oregon. It'll be okay, I promise.
Glenn Beck.